If you want to turn in your Bible, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, or you can look them up afterwards. Daniel 11:32 says there, "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Yes. And John 14 and verse 12 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." As we've just been singing, in the Christian life, we face many challenges and threats. The billows do roll sometimes. Many trials, many tribulations and adversities and difficulties. And life in general can be like that. But for the believer particularly, we have the added challenges of fighting a hidden enemy, the devil, plus the flesh, plus the world system that we live in. And for many believers, the constant struggles and challenges that we face in life can have the effect of wearing us out, wearing us down, and the Christian life can become more like an endurance test than the abundant life that it ought to be. And that's because too often we allow our mindset to become negative and to dwell on all the problems and the things we see around us. And instead of seeing the things that we face as opportunities to see God move in our lives and change us, to see spiritual growth in our lives, that we could be overcomers, to see our faith grow and our lives become more fruitful, we too often view things in the negative. This morning, God has a plan for our lives. And I know that sounds like a cliche, but truly, our lives are not just some random existence without any purpose. But God has placed us where we are in the time of his choosing with a purpose and a destiny that he wants you and I to fulfill. John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." We were appointed and chosen by God. You are God's chosen vessel this morning for the purpose for which God has created you. Too many churches and Christians seem to think that the only purpose for the church is to hang on till the rapture, to endure by the fingernails till the end. And whilst it's true that we do have to, don't we, endure much, and indeed we are called to endure till the end, between now and then, we are to be those that live by faith, believing that God is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Believing that God has a use for our lives now, both in the church, in whatever form of ministry you've been given or gifted with, whatever that may be, and also outside in our callings and vocations, and to use the gifts and the talents and the abilities that God has given us, whether they're natural gifts or supernatural gifts. The church is meant to be a beacon on a hill. It's not some secret club for the lucky few who get to be in the know. But the Christian is purposed to bear fruit unto God, of taking the talent that God has given him and seeing it increase by tenfold, 30-fold, 100-fold, not to bury it in a field like the scripture tells us. The thing is, for you and I, if we only think we can get by, if we only think we can just about hang on, that's all we're ever going to do, isn't it? Now, Henry Ford said, if you can do a thing or think you can't do a thing, you're probably right. And what he's saying is, the way you think is the way you'll probably end up being. Now, I'm not into the power of positive thinking, any of that nonsense. But if God's got a will and a purpose for our life, we need to act within God's will. It's often us that are the biggest hindrances and limit God to where God wants to actually take us in our lives. If we convince ourselves that our lives can't achieve anything, then we probably won't achieve anything. But if we'll dare to believe God, who knows where the limit is, eh? You know, we can view life, this life, either as a trial to endure or as an opportunity for God to fulfill his purpose in our lives. I'm going to give you another quote now, which is, when everything seems to be going against you, remember that the airplane takes off against the wind, not with it. You know, we tend to view trials as a disaster for our lives, but God actually views them as an opportunity for us to change us, to mould us, to shape us, to transform us, to move our lives forward spiritually. And we need to start seeing things as God sees them, not how our cynical and negative minds view them. Look at the biblical example of Joseph. This guy was sold into slavery by his own brothers. He was thrown into prison because of Potiphar's wife lying. Yet he ends up being used mightily by God and was raised up to be one of the most important and powerful men in all of Egypt next to Pharaoh. Look at Daniel in Babylon, exalted to a high position under King Nebuchadnezzar. See, God can raise up the humble. He exalts the humble. And if we will acknowledge God in all our ways, he will establish our paths. If we will humble ourselves before God, he will exalt us. Some of us in here are old enough to remember a program called Opportunity Knocks. It's what they used to have before the X Factor and Britain's Got Talent. And it was run by a guy, I think his name was Huey Green. Well, you know, when opportunity knocks in our lives, do we open the door to it, or do we hide behind it afraid of what it might mean for you and I? God often will send us opportunities, but we don't always grasp them, do we? I do say that with the caveat that it is got to be God that's given us that opportunity, because the devil can also give us opportunities in life too. We have to be aware of his trickery and schemes. But if God opens a door or gives us an opportunity, the question is do we dare to step out and believe? Or do we hide our talent, as it were, in the ground because we think God is an austere man and we were too afraid? Sometimes it's the fear of failure that stops us from going forward. We're worried that if we do step out and things go wrong, what will happen then? We don't like being in situations, do we, where we're not comfortable, where we're not in control, where there's some possibility of failure. We like certainty, security, firm plans with definite outcomes. But life's not like that, is it? None of us is truly fully in control, are we, of our own circumstances? But if God is going to move in your life, then you've got to be willing to put yourself sometimes in vulnerable situations where you're going to have to trust in God, where you're going to have to step out of the boat, as it were, just like Jesus told Peter to step out onto the water. And he walked on water, didn't he? And he only began to sink when he took his eyes off Jesus. And so can you and I, we too can step out and walk on water, so to speak, if we're willing. Another quote from Henry Ford is, failure is simply the opportunity to begin again. This time more intelligently. You know, failure can be a good teacher. Sometimes we do fail, but it's not the end of the world if we do. At least we tried. It's better to have tried and failed than never try at all. We don't need to fear failure. Sometimes we do make mistakes and we do get it wrong. But if our heart is towards God, then even our failures, God can turn round for the good. Incidentally, Henry Ford, who quoted that, he failed in his first car company, but then went on to become one of the world's most successful car brands. Failure is not the end of the road, but it's an opportunity to try again or start again. If we're going to be used by God in our lives, we're going to have to be willing to step out of our own comfort zones, not listen to our fears, but listen to the voice of the Spirit of God and obey God. Remember Philip, who God sent to the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 26. It says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. It says he arose and went. He didn't hold back afraid. He didn't think, oh my gosh, I'm going into a desert. You know, God didn't even tell him what he'd purposed for him in this journey. He was just sent out onto a road into the desert. But Philip obeyed, he arose and he went. And he knew that if God was sending him, there must have been a purpose, a reason. He obeyed. But imagine if he hadn't bothered because he was either feeling tired or weary or was too afraid. You know, that Ethiopian eunuch, who was a powerful man in his own country, may never have got saved. And who knows what that man did when he returned to Ethiopia. I'm sure God probably used this man's life as a testimony to the people over there of the gospel. God had a purpose to save this one man traveling through the desert on his way back from worshipping in Jerusalem. You know, you wonder why didn't God send a believer to this man while he was in Jerusalem? After all, there was a church already established there. But no, for whatever reason, this man didn't get saved in Jerusalem. But here on the road back, he bumps into Philip, who tells him the way of salvation. And he gets saved and he's baptized, all because that Philip obeyed God when God spoke to him. We read of Ananias in the following chapter in Acts, who God sent to lay hands on Saul of Tarsus, or Paul as we know him. Acts 9:10-17 says, "Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' So the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight.' And Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.' And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized." Now, if Ananias had listened to his fears about, because they knew about Saul going around persecuting the believers, if he'd listened to those fears, he wouldn't have witnessed this wonderful miracle with Paul. I'm sure God would probably have sent someone else if he hadn't. But Ananias would have missed his opportunity. You see, the opportunities that come our way aren't just for the benefit of others, but we benefit from them too. It causes us to grow in faith and joy. Imagine how Philip felt after the Ethiopian got saved. His faith must have been strengthened in the Lord. And Ananias must have been both relieved that Saul didn't kill him and overjoyed that he also got saved. See, obedience leads to an increase in faith. Because as we see God fulfill his purpose using us, so our faith grows too. And our relationship with God also grows. What we need to do is be open to and listen to the Spirit of God when he speaks to us, and let God take us where he wants to take us. You know, the question this morning is, do we view things as an opportunity or just as an endurance test? How do we view our lives? Do the obstacles that come our way cause us to stumble and to grow weary and disillusioned and cynical and negative? Or do we see these opportunities as an opportunity to overcome, to grow in God's grace and to advance God's kingdom in our lives? See, we can see God move in our lives if we're willing. And you're never too old for God to move in your life, and you're never too young either. You know, in the Old Testament there, Caleb, if you remember him, who went into the promised land with Joshua, he was still taking land even in his 80s. Joshua 14, 6 to 14. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God." So Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. See, Caleb, 85 years old, still taking opportunities for God to move. When we face trials in life, we need to say to the Lord, "Give me this mountain." You know, is your strength, spiritual strength that is, might not be physically as strong, but is your strength still the same now as it was when you were first saved? Do you still want to take the mountains in your life? Do you still see them as opportunities? Or has life just become a big struggle of weariness and endurance? Are you an overcomer this morning, or have you been overcome? Are you weary and worn down, where you can't see the wood for the trees? If so, don't despair, because God can renew our strength. And we can get back up again, and we can see God extend our life. We can see God enlarge our tent. We can take new land in our lives and have victory over our struggles with trials and temptations. See, God can use the gifts and talents that he's given us and see our purpose in God fulfilled if we're willing. And if you think that you don't have any talents this morning, God's given everybody some talent, whatever it is. God is a giving God, isn't he? And he gives to everyone a talent. Not everyone's the same, but everybody does have a talent. And God can give us more gifts if we're willing. We just need to press in, don't we, and believe God this morning. And not give in to cynicism and negativity when we need to trust in God, see God move in our lives. Let's pray this morning. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God of grace and mercy, and you've given gifts unto your people, not so that we can bury them and hide them, Lord, so that we can use them to serve one another, to love one another, and to be used by you to the glory of your kingdom and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep us, we pray, this day. Amen.